And welcome to episode 13 of Moral Victories. I am your host, Jared Schenker. I'm joined once again by Dougie Dash, fresh off the 15-day DL. We are going to talk a little bit about the Le'Veon Bell situation, the latest weirdness going on at Ohio State, and would anybody in college football, if they expand the playoff, actually sit their players for these big end-of-the-year rivalry games? Of course, we're going to get into our college football leans and Doug's NFL picks over the last few weeks. He's been hot. Four wins, five wins, something like that. I am 42 and 22 picking college games this year. And with that, let's get right into our show. Okay, cool. Hook 'em.
Sports. The thrill of victory.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
The agony of defeat.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Every loss teaches a lesson that's important for a young athlete's development.
I mean, I'm really disappointed in the progress that we've made.
But it's important to remember that sports is about having fun, not winning.
You're here for one goddamn specific reason.
What's that, Earl?
Jack us!
You're bullshit. Fuck you.
This is Moral Victories with Jared Schenker.
You really think I give a flying what the people on the radio call say?
Welcome to the Baker's Dozen episode. Episode 13 of Moral Victories. I am rejoined by Dougie Dash after a week absence. You get put on the 15-day DL pretty often. You're never out for extended stretches, but you're LeSean Lee.
Look,
where you come back and then it's like, hamstring pull.
I think I have a chip in the elbow that I'm just like pitching through, so yeah. I'm more or less on like an innings count. It's actually the 13th episode on November 13th. So,
oh yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Maybe it's meant to be.
Not a Friday though.
Maybe it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But yes, episode 13 of Moral Victories. Last week, if you listened and decided to hop on some lines early, we were 7-1, including 7-0 on Saturday on the early podcast leans. And then with the official picks, we moved to 42-22 after a so-so 3-2 best bet Saturday. But better than what we had been doing after the 12-0 run. Followed it with 1-5 and then I think 2-3. So we're back in the black and we're still 20 games above 500. And as always, follow on Twitter at Jared_Schenker. And I'll tweet out the link to the picks every single weekend. But before we get into any type of leans on what I'm seeing in college football and what Dougie's looking at in the NFL, I see you even have six games. You only pick five, but I see you gave a six pack today.
Well, it's always five and the Lions.
Give the people what they want.
Oh, so yeah. If the Lions aren't going to be an official a pool pick for me, then I'll still throw them in. So
you have,
it's a treat.
Based on what you have written down, a little tease for the people who are listening, you have the Detroit side of +3.5. You like Detroit?
Oh, no.
I said, knowing how you felt about this season, I imagine you plan on...
No.
You can't even really fade the lines
at
this point.
I'm taking the Panthers, and I'm taking them pretty convincingly. 10 days rest coming off of...
Bad loss.
A bad loss to the Steelers.
Lions showed some fight.
Yeah, we showed some fight. Not really, though. The game was out of hand by the time they started to do anything against the Bears. It's rough sledding right now, but...
Yeah, they suck again.
You know.
It's okay.
Yeah, look. It doesn't really matter.
No, you don't care. You don't care that much. But you just mentioned the Steelers, and the big news that came out a few hours ago is that Le'Veon Bell just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to play this year.
No.
Which I respect that. I respect the hell out of.
Same. Honestly. I'm pro player. I'm not really a pro management kind of guy. I think that he should get his while he can get his. You know, you saw what happened to Earl Thomas.
That's a also a lesson in why don't ever, ever tweet. They dug up Le'Veon's old tweets. I don't know if you saw that this week. And
no,
like in 2013, he said something about he doesn't understand how anybody could hold out. It means you don't truly love the game.
Yeah, well.
And now he's going to just hold out for an entire 16-game season.
That's
which
five
has anybody,
years. That's
has
five
anybody
years
done?
Has
anybody
yeah, somebody did.
Held I, out the entire year?
Yeah, I can't. I cannot recall. But one player has within the last, like, call it like 15 to 20 years, set out the whole entire season. Might have been like a defensive, it might have been a defensive player or like a tackle.
Or an offensive player?
Yeah, like, yeah. Well,
either
like
defensive or an offensive player?
No, a tackle specifically on offense if I'm calling the shot. But if not, then a defensive player.
Okay. So offense or defense?
Yeah. So
we've narrowed it down. I get why he's doing it. I have no real issue with it because this is legitimately this is his last big contract. He's a running back, so.
Let me ask something. Is this not really just a win-win all around for everybody? James Conner winning. Steelers don't have to pay this like $18 million or like whatever it was, the 14 that it was going to be this year for Le'Veon. And Le'Veon's going to be a free agent. So.
I would say I don't want to. I'm a huge James Conner fan back from when I covered the ACC and he was at Pittsburgh. Actually, no, I'm dating back to when he was in high school. Not to brag, I know James Conner a long time. So I'm rooting for him, but he's only done this over 10 games, or Le'Veon's done it over, what, 4 years now? So I don't want to say, well, it's not like there's any type of significant drop off because Le'Veon is arguably. The second, maybe the, if not the best running back in the league, second best behind Zeke, I guess.
Well, now I guess it's like more girly, but that's.
Oh, yeah, true. Ty Gurley.
That's semantic.
Yeah.
That's not,
he's,
that's
he's
not,
top three.
That's not the point of this. I guess I mean, I'm totally with you.
But then look at, like, Adrian Peterson is however old, and he's on the
vet
minimum.
May, to quote the great Denzel Washington, you cannot replace a Gary Bertier. Right, so like you cannot replace.
They sort of did because they did end up winning the state championship without him. So they actually
but they
did
fell
replace
number two team in the nation. They fell. But the point is though is that Connor is having a great year, like you said. And Le'Veon is he's great. I mean,
if they get into a playoff,
I would have traded a one for Le'Veon this year for the Lions.
It depends. Well. For the Lions, it only makes sense for however many teams like that actually have a legitimate chance of winning because you don't want to build your team around a running back because you're really going to, and that's the thing that they were talking about so much on the Monday night game this week where it's like you had the opportunity to draft a quarterback at number two.
You
end up taking Barkley and it's, well, the same thing as with the Cowboys. You can't really build a championship around a running back, although I don't completely buy it. That argument in the Giants' sake because they're going to have a top three pick this year and can get a quarterback.
Have so many more
and I
issues.
Don't know who, I don't know the quarterback that you were going to get at two because only because Baker who went number one has been the only one who's shown that he's probably on the right track. Darnold's been so-so. Josh Allen, I don't think anybody really believes in except for like humor's sake to see him succeed. And Mason Rudolph went high in the second round. I'm trying to think of who else went first round among quarterbacks last year. Josh Rosen has looked okay.
Yeah, Baker, Rosen, Darnold, Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I think those are the five that went in the first round.
Yeah, and then Mason Rudolph went right after.
But I'll tell you what, if I'm the Giants, I would just take an offensive lineman this year, or I take the best player available, not a quarterback, and I'm probably picking pretty high again in 2020 when it's the class of possibly Tua and Lawrence and why not? I mean, Giants are still going to be terrible.
Well, Trevor Lawrence would be 2021, but I get your point.
Right.
You're just going to be terrible for a few years and then...
Right. I'm not reaching for a quarterback coming out of college this year.
But in Le'Veon's case, you have... If you're going to trade a number one and potentially like a number one in either a second one or a couple other high picks, you have to have a championship contender. And so it limits as to where he's going to go. If you're just, I don't know, if you're the Ravens, I don't see it making sense. Or if you're a team like I don't know, the Broncos or like somebody who might be on the cusp. I'm trying to think of a Dolphins team. Like, it doesn't make sense for like a team like the Dolphins. I think you have to be a championship contender to trade for Le'Veon and give up.
Yeah, he needs to be the one missing piece.
And for him, like, this is literally going to be his last big contract. He said Adrian Peterson's on a vet minimum right now.
Right.
The greatest running back that we've probably seen.
No, he needs to cash in right now. And I would say LaDainian Tomlinson is probably
the best running back that we've seen.
Yeah, but yeah. Let's not get into that.
No, we won't get into that.
I'll tell you, I actually do know the daughter of Kevin Colbert because she works in my industry. So I'm going to have her ask her dad, and we'll just get to the bottom of how the Steelers really feel.
I imagine that she'll give it up pretty easily.
Yeah, she's cool. She'll tell me if her dad tells her.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned, fans. But
just ask
could be some insider information coming out of the Moral Victories podcast.
Ask her to
stay tuned.
Ask her to email their dad and just BCC you, and dad will never know. Be like, Dad, I know it's kind of weird that I'm emailing you instead of texting.
You know that when he replies, you don't stay on the BCC, so that would defeat the purpose.
I don't think I've ever BCC'd anybody in my life.
Honestly, I
don't know how it works.
Microsoft Office for you.
I guess on my resume, I can no longer put Microsoft Office proficient.
Just sufficient. I don't know. Sufficient is the correct.
I'm good enough. You know who is not social media proficient is Zach Smith over at Ohio State. It was kind of a disgusting meltdown.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. Like, somebody needs to just take his phone away.
I don't think there's anybody who can see the way he's acted over the last few months and not think that he abused his wife.
He doesn't come off as clear-headed, talk it out kind of guy.
He doesn't strike you as someone who, when confrontation arises, believes in the cooler heads will prevail. Also a very weird texter in where he just capitalizes words randomly.
Boy,
that was a weird one. Bitch, I understand the emphasis there. I'm not somebody who, I don't think I've ever just capitalized a word mid-sentence in a text or an email for emphasis. I think at that point, just go all text, go all caps.
Yeah, just go all out. All I know is out of everything, I mean, Tom Herman.
Looks like the coolest one.
Okay, cool.
Hook him.
Hook him.
I really hope, and I was really upset that somebody brought it to my attention because I didn't think of it even. And it kind of takes away as whether, like, how just ruthless his response was in its simplicity, is that the hook 'em with the emoji could be a text signature where he really just said, okay, cool, which in itself is still a killer response. But if he didn't,
so you're saying that every single text he sends, though, hook 'em is after it?
I've had, and I believe it because having text with coaches before, they're very weird in that they do have those. Like, the only thing I think a coach will cop to as far as being tech savvy, because it is like the most like shamed thing in the coaching profession, is to be able to understand how to turn on a computer, is that they love the text signature. It's super weird.
Yeah,
but I've had multiple text conversations.
That's strange to me.
I've had multiple text conversations with coaches where they use signatures. So I think there's at least...
What does it say? Like, just give me some examples.
They're generally in the same vein as what Herman's was.
Like, what would Urban Meyer's be?
Ooh, well, I would say it's most likely, it's like, if you got a text from him,
what's James Franklin's?
Definitely like a bunch of hashtags for sure. Like hashtag we are, hashtag you know, go PSU.
So even if my
hashtag
so,
fourth
so
and
let
five.
Me get this right. Even if James Franklin is my friend and he texts me Sunday afternoon, Doug, who do you like? Who do you like today? Do you want to meet up and watch the games? After he says that, I'm gonna get all these hashtags.
Yes.
And he expects me to still be his friend?
I think there's a chance that Nick Saban even uses the signature. That's how common it is among coaches.
No chance.
I'm telling you, man, it's odd how often how often coaches use the text. I don't even know how to. I don't even know how to do it.
No, he just doesn't. Like, what would Bill Belichick's be?
Do your job.
That would get so confusing.
What if he just? What if his signature's just a goat?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of the goat, and I'll say Tom Brady, but.
AKA when you, apparently the Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh is, that's, yeah, nobody calls him that.
Somebody
that's,
go to
that's
Sports
cool.
Somebody go to Sports Reference. Pause it for a second. Look up Sports Reference on Tom Brady's page.
I meant to bring that up to you today.
Apparently, his nicknames, on top of, I guess, Tom or Tom Terrific, is the Pharaoh and Sir.
Is that because he's the Pharaoh because he's a really prancy, fancy cat? And
I took it as
like that.
I took it as like a step above the sheriff. Like Peyton
oh,
is the sheriff.
I know.
Why else would he be the Pharaoh?
What do you mean a step above?
Like, I don't know. I feel like if
Peyton is definitely way more the sheriff than Tom Brady has ever been the Pharaoh.
I agree with that. I'm more on the fact that maybe just like, well, if he's a sheriff, Tom's got to be some type of royalty.
Yes,
he's like Cleopatra to Peyton's. I don't know.
Yeah, I found Sir pretty funny, though.
Who's that guy? That's who Peyton, I guess, would be.
Like
Andy Williams?
No,
that's a singer.
No, Dick Van Dyke? Andy Griffith show?
Andy Griffith, yeah. Wasn't he a
sorry if anybody over the age of 45 just had to sit through that.
Yeah.
And we probably embarrassed ourselves.
Millennials.
We dated ourselves.
Yeah, we did. And then Brett McMurphy's news story came out today.
Yeah, so fill me in on this. I don't understand what this is.
So, Brett McMurphy was the one who originally reported the alleged domestic violence and abuse from Zach Smith onto his ex-wife, Courtney Smith.
Yep.
And really kind of unraveled the story every time it seemed as if there was a rebuttal or a refute on Ohio State or Urban Meyer's part. Brett pulled out a few more receipts and really kind of caught everybody in their lies. He did a really good job reporting it out originally, and I know there was some talk on the message boards about whether he went back and edited his stuff and whether Zach Smith was actually arrested and blah, blah, blah. The gist of it was at least 99% of what he reported seemed to go about the right way, in my opinion, as someone who had been a journalist for a while. But this one... Now he's saying that a player transferred from Ohio State, I believe last year, only after a few games and went to Florida. And it was sparked by a racially charged incident where Zach Smith used the N-word while confronting him during the practice and yelling at him. And so McMurphy went and said that there was a bit of a cover-up on Ohio State's part, covering up this altercation, covering up the racially motivated action by Zach Smith. But then midway, it turns into a story about how this player's family life is so weird. The dad has been to jail. The mom was like convicted of fraud as a nurse because she was defrauding the old couple that she was working for, stealing at least like $10,000. And there was really no proof for any of it. So it's just this really flimsy story about how it started. The piece literally starts, all these people really can't be believed. But here, I'm gonna write it anyway.
I'm having a hard time connecting the dots between the two stories.
Like halfway through, it just flips between there's a racially charged incident to this guy has a pretty messed up family life.
All right, so I'll give my 2 cents on the two parts.
Mm-hmm.
First part. Yeah, probably. I mean, even if he didn't, I wouldn't be shocked if somebody told me that Zach Smith used a racially insensitive word.
Everybody's come out and said that never happened. Which you would,
okay,
you would,
that's fine. I'm
yeah,
just
but
saying,
you would believe because you would think that one, that would have gotten out faster, or two, the players, many of them which who are black that have said that didn't happen,
I'm
would probably
saying,
not be so quick to come out.
If...
But I get what you're
if
saying.
If Brett McMurphy told me that happened, I would be like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would consider Zach Smith to be above any type of...
Right. Now, the second part, this other story.
He also accuses the mom of potentially staging a fake stage 4 cancer.
Yeah, I guess to that point.
And I think your reaction is the point. Your reaction is that the two stories don't make any sense.
Right.
Like combined.
Yeah. No.
So why even write it? And I think it just messes up his original reporting on the whole subject, which was on Zach and Courtney Smith.
Yeah, I don't think that it. I don't think it takes anything away from his first story. I just think that he needs to just go back to like being the guy who got fired from ESPN,
laid off,
right?
As somebody who also got laid off.
Yeah,
let's be a little more politically correct.
You guys,
we band together.
Yeah,
except not in this instance.
You guys are Eskimo brothers with ESPN, but
yeah, we both got fucked by him.
Yeah. But I don't know. I wish Zach Smith would go away. I guess at the end of the day, that's how I feel.
Yeah,
I just wish Zach Smith would just go away.
It's really time. He's never going to be a coach again. He's never going to clear his name.
Him and that other coach from high school. You hear like that tape where he was just saying,
The basketball coach?
Yeah, just wild.
I didn't listen to it, but I heard about it.
Wild things. But those guys, I think, would probably enjoy it.
They'd probably get along.
Company.
Yeah. Pretty wild, the stuff that Zach Smith was saying about Tom Herman, though. Going to Asian masseuse parlors.
Yeah.
Or hooking up with Iowa State girls.
Yeah. Even if all of that is true, which it could be, and I'm not condoning that, that's pretty terrible behavior for a married man who I assume has kids. And I'm also assuming he's married right now. So
he's married.
Tom, if you're not, do your thing, Playboy. But that being said, his response,
okay, cool,
has exonerated him in my eyes from all like public like wrongdoing. I'm like, you know what? He's got to handle his business if he did all that. But
I believe they're making T-shirts already.
Did they say, okay, cool.
Yeah, with,
oh,
okay, cool.
Incredible.
Hook him with the emoji.
Yeah, it's and, gotta be.
It's gonna so be hard good. Not to make that purchase.
Yeah, it's really good.
Now, if anybody ever comes at me,
why don't we just start to like make that a company?
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no. Like, we should have had that idea to make T-shirts like that.
I think that's usually where like Barstool immediately just starts making stuff like that. I believe it's probably like Barstool Texas that's making those shirts right now. I do know that I believe they are in the process of being made. I don't know if you can trademark it. If not, we'll rival them.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll keep thinking.
But anyway, yeah. Okay, cool. Anytime I just get an email from somebody who is just unnecessarily annoying me, it's okay, cool. That's it for everybody. Moving on. This week in college football sucks. There's two games between ranked teams. And this is kind of the new normal, the week before.
Notre Dame and Syracuse,
which I think it's Syracuse is number 9. Notre Dame is number 3. They're playing at Yankee Stadium, I believe.
Oh, is that the Pinstripe Bowl?
Yeah, Pinstripe game. Not the bowl, but the game. And I think the Irish are wearing Yankee jerseys.
Yeah, they're rocking the pinstripes on the shoulders, I believe.
And the pants. I think they're wearing the pinstripe pants.
Yeah.
I feel like teams that alternate jerseys at this point have an adverse effect. I feel any team that wears black now is like setting themselves up to lose. I was shocked that Notre Dame won in the greens last week. I think anybody other than Florida State, like
then they would have lost. Yeah,
probably would have beat them. No, I feel like at this point the alternate jerseys almost have like an adverse effect. Like Ohio State coming out in the black against Nebraska, they probably should have lost that game.
Yeah.
Also, the blacks are done. They're dead. The alternate black uniforms were sick in 2003.
You remember the Lions?
Lions were sick of them. The Jaguars were... The Ravens were the original, like, most badass team to come out in the all blacks.
All black, yeah.
And they always did it for, like, either the Pats or the Steelers. And it was awesome. The Jags...
Definitely Steelers.
The Jags looked good in the all black. But now, ever since Georgia came out in the all black for the first time ever against Alabama, I think in 08 or 09... And then they lost by like 40.
They did lose by a lot.
That ended, I think Julio just went all over him that game. But anyway, getting back to the original point, this weekend is terrible. the weekend before Thanksgiving, which is usually the last weekend of the regular season, has gotten pretty bad because now every team uses it as almost like their second bye week. They'll schedule a low Group of Five team. They'll schedule a low or an FCS school. And that's how you end up with only two games against ranked teams, which brings me to the point I saw that was being discussed this week, that if you expand the playoff, and this is something that I've been saying for a long time, because I think if you expand the playoff, you're going to see teams start to sit guys for these huge rivalry games. I don't think it's going to happen right away, but I think ultimately when the goalpost has moved from every year to beating your conference rival and competing for a conference championship to winning the national title or to get in the playoff, that you're going to see like Alabama or Auburn rest their players against the other one. You're going to see it happen in Ohio State, Michigan. You'll see it. If Florida and Florida State ever get good again, you'll see it in that game. Because right now for Alabama, they could lose to Auburn and it's probably not going to matter. They go 12-1 with the SEC championship, they're going to get in. Same thing with if Michigan and Ohio State are undefeated, like going into that game, and you could win the Big Ten against a really good Wisconsin or whatever. I think you're going to see it. But do you think, am I wrong? Do you think that people would, that teams would sit their guys for these last games of the year? Because they're really, if you take away who the opponent is, that's exactly what's going to happen. And you see it in the NFL. Like, if you play, like
yeah,
every team
like
plays the division.
Get hurt more in the NFL than they, like, I can't really can't remember.
Last I mean,
Tua's like,
hurt.
A player
Tua's
got,
been
like,
hurt for, like, the whole year.
Right. But, like, I can't remember, like, the last time somebody, like, went down when, I'm like, I don't know if, and how many teams are you talking about expanding in the playoffs? So.
I mean, even if you expand it to eight.
4 to 8.
Yeah.
I don't think it would happen as much as you think. That you're thinking.
Well, here's what happens. If you expand it to 8 or even the 6 with the Power 5 teams all getting an automatic bid, what is the point? If your automatic bid is to, I guess you're, at that point you're playing for seeding.
Right.
But if your automatic bid is to just win your conference, Alabama's locked up the SEC West. They're going to play for the conference championship. Like Florida and Florida State, they're not even in each other's conference. And these games are so heated, and there was talk that last few weeks people have been diving at Tua's knees. With these games, again, getting so heated that you could see it potentially happening. I think it wouldn't happen right away. But once the first coach just said, I don't care what the response is going to be, because ultimately I'm judged on winning a national title, they're going to sit their players.
Yeah, I mean, but really, there's how many teams realistically have that goal? Bama,
this year,
Georgia.
I think you would see that
Clemson.
Yeah, I think you would see a team Clemson. What's the point of playing your starters against South Carolina right now?
There is no point.
South Carolina's 7-5 team. You're really not in danger of losing the recruiting grounds of South Carolina to the Gamecocks.
Even if they lost to South Carolina, they would still make the ACC championship game now?
Yeah.
Right? So this is theoretically, this could be a perfect test.
This one.
Because
but,
if they win the ACC championship game, they're still going to go to the playoff.
I don't think Clemson's schedule isn't like, I don't think they would be an automatic shoe-in as ACC champ as Bama would this year, if you're using this example, because whoever's coming out of the other division in the ACC sucks.
Whoever's
no offense to
play.
My Pitt
whoever's
guys. I love everybody at Pitt, but they're not good. As opposed to Alabama's going to play Georgia, who's probably going to go in at 11-1.
Right.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying, though?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think you would see it. I don't think you would see a rash of teams doing it every year. But you would see teams, the ones that can afford it, you would see them do it.
So do you think, though,
which would suck.
But the trade-off, though, right, is now you have more playoff games between top eight teams, right? So, like, I would, like, would you rather take those more playoff games?
That's what makes college football so good. Like, the college football doesn't have to be NFL, and I think that's why some people prefer college over the NFL. On top of the whole bunch of things, there's more offenses, there's more personalities. There are, like, you're never going to see, like, a Steve Spurrier or, you know, those type of personalities in the NFL. It just doesn't lend itself to it. But you start making it more and more like the NFL. They're also, now you're playing 16 games if you expand the playoff.
I mean, ultimately, they're just going to do whatever they can to make more money. So
they will expand the playoff. That's yeah.
You know,
I guess the argument should be, when they expand the playoff, are we going to see this type of stuff happen?
But this will happen because they'll make
great
more fade
money. Opportunity then.
Yeah, like it's almost inevitable.
Yeah. This week it's a great week to start fading some of those teams that are taking it. Like, if we're going to get into it, I know you want to talk. You want to talk baseball real quick?
No, we can just wrap.
No,
up.
No. Let's. No. You're not happy with what happened in the AO rookie of the year.
It's
and
fine.
I disagree because
towards the end we can just wrap up like baseball, hockey, basketball.
We've already started.
Or the sports that like nobody really cares about.
We've started.
All right, I'm just.
They can wait a little bit longer for the pitch.
I would just like. Just,
come on, give us your hot take.
It's not even that. It's not a hot take.
Shea Ohtani was. Is this, his first name is Shea, right?
No, it's Shohei. But
Shohei.
Who even cares?
Shohei Ohtani.
You don't even know his
name.
He's
done something only Babe Ruth has done in the last 100 years. So, yes, he has to be the AL Rookie of the Year.
No, it's not only Babe Ruth. That's not true.
Yeah, he's the only person to do whatever and then pitch 50 innings. Do whatever hitting-wise and pitch 50 innings.
Oh, and pitch 50 innings. Got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, not the only person to bat and hit.
Well, no. NL pitchers do that every single game.
But not
but he's an AL pitcher anyway.
Well, he really wasn't much of anything because he missed, like, 50 games this year. His ERA was so-so, and he had, like, 200.
No, a 3-3 ERA in the AL is
in
not
like
so-so.
In, like, six starts, and it's AL West.
The A's were good.
Yeah, only the last half of the year when he wasn't pitching.
Well, you know why they were so bad? Was because Ohtani was pitching.
He had about 250 at-bats less than Andujar, who also led.
Uh-oh, he's picking up a piece of paper. Yeah, he brought stats.
He led the league in so many things, I was going to forget.
He was not good defensively.
He did have 15 errors, but never really impacted a game where I was like, he just lost it.
Who had the higher WAR?
I didn't look.
Hmm.
But Andujar did lead rookies in hits, doubles, extra base hits, multi-hit games, tied in home runs, second in runs, third in batting average, over 297. Crucial to the pennant race.
Mm.
Yankees make the... I don't even know, honestly. With the way that Boston took off and the way that Oakland caught us, I could say that we probably are not the home wildcard team.
Without Andujar?
Without Andujar.
Andujar?
Yeah. Ooh. And even... Andujar, Papa. Even Glaber, but Glaber had no business being there. I just think that for out of the 30 votes, for Ohtani to get 25 of them and Andujar to only get 5 is it's a bit of a slap in the face. I think it's a bit of Yankee bias, honestly, but...
I could see that.
That's all my...
But the Yankee bias doesn't exist like it used to. I don't know. Baseball writers are pretty old.
I don't think
you can vote for anything in baseball unless you're at least 53.
Oh, at least. No, but if we... Not to get caught up in baseball, but if we sign Machado, then we're back to being, I think, a pretty easy to hate team.
Is Bryce just not going to happen?
Yeah, I don't think Bryce is happening.
Mm, that sucks.
Yeah, he'd have to probably play first base.
Well, why not? Put him at first base. Put Giancarlo. Or put Judge at first.
Judge is fine.
Just
right
stay.
Judge is a good right fielder, so I'd rather keep him there for as long as I can. But that's my baseball.
I'm not going to move Hicks.
That's my gripe.
Okay. You're good? We can move on to picks?
Yeah.
I think that's all people care about anyway.
Yep.
So, like I said, fade opportunities with huge spreads on teams that are playing... not great teams this week. There is UMass getting 44 against Georgia. And
points.
What's that?
A lot of points.
Yeah. A lot of points. Pretty much got to lose by 8 touchdowns. Oh, not 8. 6.
6.
7. Yeah. Yeah, they got to score pretty much, beat them by 7 touchdowns almost. That's a lot. But, and then Rice is also getting 44 against LSU. UMass, the significantly better team than Rice. But I think there's a good chance that Rice has the better odds of covering because LSU's offense is only going to do so much. LSU will, even against a team like Rice, is not a given that LSU can put up 50. Now, the issue is Rice can easily score zero. UMass, you would think that they can probably get a touchdown within the first three quarters, and then they can get a garbage time touchdown, get it to 14, and then Georgia has to score 60, which might not see happen.
Right. My concern with these covers, especially...
Let me know your concerns.
Especially in this week,
mm-hmm.
as you said, is like, does Georgia care enough that they're going to win by 44?
Exactly. That number is meaningless to them.
Right. Like, oh, yeah. But I just, like, are they going to go up 6 touchdowns? Like, that's just... It's just a lot.
Here's
in a what's going to be a not mainly non-competitive
yeah.
like practice.
To
practice.
What you're looking for is how long does it take for them to call off the horses?
Right. Right.
Because obviously if this is Georgia playing 60 minutes, very good chance it's 63-0.
Yes.
If they want to destroy UMass, they very easily can. If LSU wants to destroy Rice, they might shut them out, but they still wouldn't drop 60. They would probably, you know, score 38 or 41.
Right.
But there's a huge chance that Rice is going to get shut out. So you're taking a little bit of risk if you go with the 44. But if you're getting that many points, it's almost one of those automatics for me.
You're taking the points.
I'm taking the situation
right.
over the points.
Okay.
Rice is terrible. They are maybe the worst team in Major Division I football. I think that that used to be UTEP. It's not UTEP anymore. I think it's got to be Rice.
Way to go, UTEP.
UTEP. Yeah, they were really bad. They lost to Northern Arizona FCS.
Are they the Miners?
They are like... the Miners. University of Texas, El Paso.
Yep.
For any MacGruber fans out there.
Starting to like this guy.
Right? Good line. What else we got on here? One midweek game. I'm not going to... I don't know if I'm going to take it. I'm not a huge fan of the midweeks, but Miami of Ohio getting 6.5 against Northern Illinois.
By the way, what's the game tonight? Do you know?
Well, people will be listening 2 days later.
Right, but just so we could talk about it next week.
Let's see. Is it Buffalo, Ohio tonight?
I'm picking it on the fly. A little action?
I believe it's Buffalo, Ohio tonight.
All right, I'll look. You keep going.
Okay. Texas Tech getting 4.5 on the road at Kansas State. I talked with David about this last week. K-State, I think they're just counting down the days until they
Wait,
can...
Texas is given or
Texas
getting?
Tech is giving 4.5 to K-State. And they're just counting down the days so they can get rid of the wizard. It's time for them to move on, change the locks, do it gracefully. Whatever you got to do to, you know, keep Bill Snyder happy. His name's on the stadium.
Yeah, well, he built it with his own two hands.
And then he gave it up to Ron Prince, who immediately drove it into the ground.
Ron Prince, like the Detroit Lions coach?
Probably. He spent some time at Rutgers, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bald-headed guy?
Yeah.
Maybe he's got hair now, but... Yeah, he was there for a couple years. Like, they were coming off, like, Fiesta Bowls with Bill Snyder.
This game is already going on, by the way. It was Western Michigan, Ball State.
Is Western Michigan up big already?
No, it's 7-7. Second quarter just started about 2 minutes ago.
7-7. That doesn't reflect great on Western Michigan. Ball State is not a good team.
Correct.
What else we got here? So, Texas Tech getting 4.5. That's probably going to shoot up very close to a touchdown. By the time that kicks off, USF getting 14 on the road against Temple. I think if you take the Bulls, that's probably going to be a small sweat. Temple is good. USF, they're frauds. Let's be honest. They are a fraud team. They are.
Wow.
Yeah. They were crooking all year. They were not cooking.
All right, they were cooking.
They were cooking.
All right.
They almost lost to Illinois. They did not play particularly well against UConn. UConn also I disrespected UConn when I was saying who could be the worst team in Division I football. It is UConn, I think.
The Connecticut Huskies.
Randy Edsall, their coach.
Yeah.
He gets bonuses every single game for shit like, did they score first? Did they get a turnover? Did they lead at halftime?
Who's his agent?
I don't know. I want to be his agent. Probably the same guy who represents Jeff Fisher. Or Marvin Lewis, who somehow got fired last year, it seemed, and then ended up getting back
Hugh Jackson back. I know.
Hugh's got to be the first guy who's been fired twice within 3 months in the NFL.
Are we taking crazy pills, or is there something going on in Cincinnati that doesn't go on?
I think
elsewhere?
Marvin Lewis realized that he's getting fired officially at the end of the year. So he's just like, forget it, man. I'm bringing my boy Hugh back. I don't even care.
It's something else. I can't wait to watch them go 8-8 again.
You're talking about this year?
Yeah.
Here's the odd thing is that once they get rid of him, the Bengals, are they going to fall back to being like 3-13 team again? Because Andy, AJ's, he's not old, but he's getting up there.
I imagine for the Bengals post Marvin Lewis that it gets worse before it gets better.
Nobody wants to work with the ownership there.
No. Nobody wants to live in Cincinnati.
Tough place.
They play outdoors.
Tough place to live. Well, I don't think playing outdoors is the least of the issues with that state. I don't mean to be slanderous toward the state of Ohio, but I did live there.
You were a resident.
I did live in Columbus for quite some time, and so I'm coming from a place with deep knowledge. And Ohio's a different
sounds
place.
Sounds like resentment as well.
No, I wouldn't say resentment. I actually did enjoy parts of my time there. But Ohio is very southern for being considered the start of the Midwest.
Yeah, you really lived in two battleground states between Tallahassee.
I've personally
Florida.
Swung several elections. I got Obama elected in 2008, and I got Trump elected in 2016 because I didn't vote.
Mm.
That one vote might have made a difference. To be fair, a few weeks before we had this big hurricane came through, and a tree fell on my car, and I was immobile. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not. It would have been a huge hassle.
Ipso facto.
You guys can, whether you approve or disapprove of our current system, you can point to me as the reason why it's going on. Moving on. So we went on a tangent from USF getting 14 into our current political environment. We promise that will never happen again.
But we're back.
USF plus 14, you're going to sweat it out. Very good chance that they lose by 20 or so. But I do like USF, and could be a play this week. UMass is next on my list. We touched on them. New Mexico State getting 24 against BYU. BYU is an okay.
They're pretty good right there. Right?
They're okay. I did like them giving 14 on the road against UMass last week. I think getting 24 as bad as New Mexico State is. Might be
BYU,
a bit of an overreaction.
Is BYU playing for anything?
Probably some, just securing a bowl.
Yeah,
I don't know if
they've
reached bowl eligibility yet. But I don't think that will be reason for them to try to crush New Mexico State.
Understand.
So if you want to, man, these are some classic Jared games where you just hold your friggin' nose, man, and just like pray to God that you can get a backdoor cover. Plus 44, plus 24, plus 44. Syracuse plus 10.
We said we like big lines.
Yeah. I haven't done a ton of them this year, but that's one. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 double-digit underdogs here. That's classic. That's classic Jay Shank right there.
You're feeling pretty good about it, though, it seems like.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see come Saturday.
All right. What's the overall record on the year again?
42-22. We're a tick under 66% now.
All right.
You know the goal. I made it clear the goal was not 75%, which I was at for a few weeks. It was to always end the year at 69%.
All right. Well, you need a pretty good week then.
So if I get the calculator out, see what I have to hit. If I pick five games over these next.
No, we don't fact check, and
you don't do math.
Pull up calculators.
No, I'm gonna check it right now. What's we're gonna pick five games over these next 2 weeks. Oh man, we have to do like the math cross.
That's what I'm saying. Like I was almost
69 over 100.
I'm almost deflecting because I didn't want to try to
so
do
try
the
to
math.
Figure it out.
Yeah, if I don't have Excel in front of me,
so what's that? That's 42-22. That's 64. It's plus another 10 games is 74. All right, so we're doing. Can't believe we're doing this right now.
Wow.
Boring radio for you guys. 69 times 74 divided by
this is
100
like
is 51. So I got to go 9-1.
All right.
51.
You heard it here first.
51-23.
Yeah.
That's tough.
You have to go 9-1.
Well.
Yeah, well, you know what?
My
John McClane saved a whole entire building, so I'm pretty sure you'll be able to... to get this done.
Not a holiday movie. Stanford giving two on the road at Cal. Cal coming off a huge win against USC on the road. They haven't fared too well in the big game.
Is Love good still?
He came back. He came back last week.
Should he have got drafted last year?
In hindsight, yes, he probably should have left.
Okay.
And then Baylor giving a point against TCU, who has fallen apart completely this year.
When it's a point, you gotta just. I just usually just take the line. I'm just like, all right, I'll just live or die by it.
Just minus little minus 120.
Right.
Get a little bit of extra juice there.
Yeah,
take money line.
Right.
In college, so rarely will a game come down to 1 point.
Right.
That I'll save. I'm not a fan of like buying points. And so in that case, I would just take.
I believe in the half point, especially in the NFL, if I like an over or an under or, you know.
The problem is, and I was explaining this to my brother the other day who said he likes to do it all the time, is that one, yes, the lines are insanely good and they come close a lot of the time, but it's still rare for it to fall on that one. And if everybody's fighting to just get to like 52%, which is hard to do, to be right 52% of the time picking games.
Right.
Now, when you start buying points, you have to hit an even higher percentage. So, I believe that in the long haul, you're better off not buying the points. But I understand, and I know I'm looking at you right now, and you're like, I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, just two different schools of thought.
I'm
going to
do it. Yeah.
And I don't do it on every game, but...
no, there are ones where at 3.5, it's like, oh man, like
right,
I would hate for this to I would lose on this hook.
Yeah, I'll spend another like $3 to push on a last minute field goal.
Yeah,
or, you know, like so I didn't want to just kill myself after 3 hours.
Sure, and if you're betting, say $25 on a game,
right,
then it's worth going from
Betting 27, 28 to win 25 to 30 to win 25. Like, what's the difference?
At that point,
right.
If you're betting larger sums,
right.
Even though I understand that the percentages are the same, you don't want to lose $200 on plus five.
No.
Then at the same token, though, you're also, now you went from, 220 to win 200 to maybe 260 to win 200. That's a little bit of a steeper climb. Really quick, what do you got? NFL for me today. We already talked on the Lions.
Yeah,
big
Lions.
Fade. Big fade.
Yeah, Carolina.
How'd you do last week?
Last week I went 2-3. It wasn't that good.
2 weeks before we went 4-1, right?
No. I went on a 3-week run before that where I was 13-2,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. I went 4-4-5-2. So I'm four back from the lead out of the whole pool. So need to get back. I need at least like four this week to stay in it.
So this is week 11, right? In
mm-hmm.
the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you got
I'm still there.
You got 7 weeks.
Yeah. I'm still there. I just need to, I can't really.
Are you tied with anybody behind you?
There's like a couple guys.
How many people have kind of cleared
It's down. It's down to probably like 15 guys.
Okay.
Out of like the 60.
Give another 3 weeks. Probably about another 5 will be gone within 3 weeks.
Right. Right.
All right.
All right. So,
there's got to be within striking distance, like with 2 weeks to go. If you can be within 3, with 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, I just need to pick up like 1 game a week.
Yeah.
Which isn't that hard.
All right. Well, then give us the.
All right. So
give us your 5-0.
I like the Redskins this week against Houston. I feel like Redskins just kind of are just like under the radar, just cruising just along. They're 6-3 against the spread this year.
6-3 straight up too.
Yeah, right. And
a lot of wins as an underdog.
They're getting 2.5 points.
Are they home or are they away?
Away. But I don't really. Houston's not a place where.
You're not scared by the rally of Houston.
Yeah, it's warm. It's nice weather, and see, I like Washington. It's one of those picks.
As somebody who took Tampa last week, Tampa got inside like the 15 five times and ended up with 3 points. That game, that final score was not reflective of probably how that game was played, and with all of the huge injuries that Washington has had on the offensive line and the strength of Houston being they have Clowney and they have
JJ Watt. They left their guard.
Yeah. I would lean Houston there. That's just me personally.
Yeah, I mean,
but go against it.
It's not
anytime I feel like you take the Redskins, you're like, man, it's gonna be an ugly one.
Right.
But they win ugly games.
My pick of the, you know, of the week, I don't have a mortgage, but if I did, if I had a mortgage bet, I'm going to pound Minnesota getting 2.5 against the Bears. I don't think the Bears are that good. I think Minnesota is pretty, really good.
The Bears are starting to win me over a little bit.
They played just bad teams. Jets.
I've thought they've been crooking for a little while.
The Bills, the Cardinals, the Lions.
Played the Pats tough, but Pats are right. The third best team in the AFC now.
Yeah.
I think I'm comfortable saying
Lions
that the Pats are the third best team in the AFC.
I don't think the Bears are that good. I don't think like Mitchell Trubisky, like I didn't see there was nothing that happened during that Lions game that made me be like, okay. Like
here's what I would say.
I watched the Lions play the Vikings, and then the following week I watched them play the Bears. If both of those teams played each other, the Vikings are going to win by like 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. If the Pats end up getting home field advantage, I think things shift. But as of right now, I put definitely Kansas City and definitely San Diego or LA, the Chargers, above New England in that division. Also,
In my brain, there's no way in the world that Phillip Rivers could beat Tom Brady.
Well, in the playoffs, that's what I'm saying. If they have to play in the playoffs. All right, so this is the Chargers' path to the playoffs. Have KC knock off New England in the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the Chargers avoid New England in the playoffs, they got a shot to win it all. I feel like if they played New England, New England would beat them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was going to say Pittsburgh. I don't think they're better than New England, but I see you have them on here.
Yeah.
Are you riding Pittsburgh or Jackson?
Yeah, Pitt.
Yeah.
-5.5.
I think it's a bit
of a get-back game from AFC playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Jacksonville Jaguars have more or less mailed it in.
I think Blake it's Bortles time to really, terrible. To really... I have been on the Jags several weeks, and I've lucked out a push this week with them. I think it's just one of those things where it's time to really just readjust what we think of the Jaguars.
Jalen Ramsey is tweeting out, like, you're going to miss me when I'm gone already. Like,
is he?
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Like, it's a mess. It's a mess down there. So I like Pitt there.
And then we got Birds, Saints.
Bird Saints.
Saints.
I don't really have
anything. 7.5.
I know. I don't really have a read on this game. Mm-hmm. I just picked it because it's a pretty marquee matchup.
Mm-hmm.
7.5 is a lot, but Saints at home, tough to pick against them. So
yeah. Eagles another team where
I
you have to
won't
sort of
play it, but
Eagles another team where you are really forced this week to reevaluate what you think they are.
Yeah, they got to come up big. Like this is they're pretty much playing in playoff games from here on out.
Well, the good news is that the division is a mess. Like, I don't think anybody's confident.
There's still two games back, though.
I don't think anybody is confident in the Redskins running away with this division.
No.
The Redskins, I mean, the Redskins have quality wins. They've beaten Green Bay. I think last week what they did was pretty impressive given how they didn't really play great. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Panthers. I'm looking at it right now. Like they've had some
good
wins.
Those are good wins.
The problem is coming up, it gets a lot tougher for them. Texans, Cowboys again, then the Eagles. They got to
play the Eagles twice.
They got to play the Eagles twice. They got to play the Jaguars late in the year. They'll have mailed it in officially by then.
Yeah, Jaguars and Giants.
They got to play the Titans.
At 6-3, though, it's very possible for them to win 10 games and win the division with 10 games.
Oh, 100%.
So,
yeah. So we got. So to recap it real quick, Skins,
Vikes, Vikes, Steelers, Panthers, and
what about? I see you've written down
Chiefs
Rams.
So another probably the best matchup in Monday Night Football history, at least last 10 years.
Probably not history. Yeah,
no, last 10 years. At home, I mean, Rams. We're not gonna, two
no,
and
fact
a half.
Check
I like the Rams. I like the Rams come back this week at home, coming off that loss to the Saints.
Well, they came back and beat the Seahawks this week.
Oh, right. Completely forgot that.
I had the Seahawks.
That was a thing.
A stressful final few minutes there, getting the backdoor cover from the Seahawks.
You know what? I didn't watch that game. I was on my way to the Knicks, watched them lose by 30 points to the Magic.
Yeah, Knicks... not doing great. Their season is over. Carmelo, hey, could bring time to bring back Carmelo though. Time to bring back Carmelo. But that will do it for the show. Quick recap of the picks that I was looking at early. Miami of Ohio getting 6.5, Texas Tech, USF, UMass, New Mexico State, Syracuse, which is a very good team. I think, are they a top 10 team? Probably not. They are a legitimately good team, though, and I think I want to see them win because Dino always has a sick post-game locker room video to come out anytime they have a big win. Stanford giving 2 in the big game. Baylor giving 1 against TCU. Baylor, with a win, gets to bowl eligibility. I don't think that can be overlooked. And then like UMass as a big dog under... like, similar... to UMass as a big dog against an SEC foe. Rice is there at plus 44 against LSU, or maybe you're just hoping that they lose 42-0. But that will do it for the show. Episode 13 of Moral Victories in the books. Follow along on Twitter at Jared_Shanker. I will post out the picks there, 42-22. We're getting back to above 66% this week.
And definitely falling short of...
If we go 9-1 over these next 2 weeks, we'll be just fine. We'll even be a little bit above, I believe. So that is it. Join us next week. And okay, cool. Hook 'em.